Hello, everyone, and welcome to Databases and Methods, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. Thank you to CIDR for providing technical and promotional support. Databases and Methods is one of VIREC's core cyber seminar series, and it really focuses on helping VA researchers access and use VA databases. This slide shows the series schedule for the year. Sessions are held on the first Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern. Most session topics for this series are updated every year, so if you can't wait until April for the 2018 pharmacy data presentation, you can view the 2017 version on HSR&D's VIREC Cyber Seminar Archive. More information about this series and other VIREC Cyber Seminars is available on VIREC's website. Once again, just a quick reminder to everyone who registered for today's session, slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of a sample email you should have received today, and in it you will find the link to download the slides. Right there. Okay, today's presentation will describe the components of the VA vital status files and how they can be used for research purposes. In addition, other death databases such as the National Death Index and state death certificates will also be discussed. The presentation is titled Ascertaining Veterans' Vital Status, Data Sources for Mortality Ascertainment and Cause of Death. Dr. Charles Maynard is here to present the session. Chuck is an investigator at the Denver-Seattle Center of Innovation. He is also a professor at the University of Washington. This is his third time presenting on this topic for VIREC. Thank you for joining us again today, Chuck.
Thanks very much, Ira. Thank you, Rob. Good morning, everyone. This seminar is going to talk about, as Ira indicated, assessing veterans' vital status as well as cause of death. There's some updates from last year which may be of interest to you, and we're going to get to those real soon. The objectives of the seminar are first to identify the data sources for veteran vital status ascertainment, to understand the contents and structure of the VA's vital status files and their appropriate use for mortality ascertainment. This is probably the most important part of the presentation. We'll then discuss the relative strengths and limitations of available VA data sources for mortality ascertainment, and we'll also identify some other relevant sources of death data, including the National Death Index and what's now known as the Veterans National Death Index, as well as state death certificates. And finally, just a few examples of how some of these data resources can actually be used for purposes of research. So here's our roadmap. We're first going to talk about the veteran's vital status file, and then we're going to talk about in general, and then sort of talk about the specific mini and master files, and then also look at other data sources for both veteran and non-veteran mortality. We'll talk about the date of death work group. Here's some exciting developments here which you should be aware of. And finally, briefly about other sources of mortality data and then some examples as we previously indicated. So we're going to have two questions back to back. We'll ask the one and then Rob will announce the poll results and then we'll get to the next one. So I am interested in VA data primarily due to my role as a research investigator, data manager, project coordinator, program specialist or analyst, or E other. Please indicate your choice, and then we'll announce the poll results shortly.
Chuck, the poll is up, and we have about 50% of our audience voted, so we'll give them a few more moments to weigh in. Things seem to have leveled off around 75%, so I'm going to go ahead and close the poll and share out the results. And what we have, Chuck, is that for answer number one, research investigator, 27% chose that one, 12% chose data manager, 10% chose project coordinator, 37% program specialist or analyst, and 15% other. So your two largest ones were research investigator and program specialist or analyst.
Great, thank you, Rob. And then we're going to move to the second question, and that is, how would you rate your knowledge of methods to ascertain death dates for veterans in VA? So we go from A, one, no knowledge, to five, E, expert. And again, please indicate your level of expertise with this
this poll is open, and we have it's rapidly approaching 70%. So I think things are going a little bit quicker this time around. And we've leveled off around 80%. So I'm going to close the poll and share the results out. And Chuck, 23% chose no knowledge, 39% chose number 2, 21% chose number 3, 18% chose number 4, and 0 chose number 5. 0 people think they're expert.
Great. Back thanks, Rob. So I think these results are pretty similar to what we had last year, so it's probably we've got a new audience this year as opposed to last year. Okay, moving on. So we're going to talk about the veteran's vital status file, and we're going to talk about sources that are in the VSF and sources that are not in the VSF. So the first one is probably most of you are familiar with the Beneficiary Identification Record Locator System, BIRLS, which is from the VBA, or Veterans Benefits Administration. Basically, it covers veterans known to the VA. A lot of these individuals are getting some kind of benefit from VA, and most likely either compensation, pension, and also health care. So it's on the AITC, the Austin mainframe, as well as VinCI. This is probably the, as you'll see later, it's the VA CMS Medicare Vital Status File. It basically comes from the denominator file in Medicare. It is probably the major source of ascertaining vital status of all the veterans that we have information on. And it gets its variety from a number of sources, including the Social Security Administration, Medicare claims, family. Obviously, as we know, it's restricted mainly to individuals 65 and over, although there are some disabled individuals who are younger. Probably the one drawback is there is a delay. So we're looking at right now about almost 3-year delay until the new Medicare files become available to us. The Social Security Death Master File, which is really the only publicly available death file in the United States. I mean, you can purchase this for a given sum. Also, sometimes you'll find it on various websites. So it includes individuals who have applied for Social Security, first issued in 1936 when the SSA Act was passed. It includes deaths of individuals occurring outside the United States, and not surprisingly, it's more complete for those 65 and over. One drawback of this file, and it really doesn't apply to the VA because the VA has the complete file, but states have become some states have become much less willing to release their information to the SSA and then have the SSA release it to the public, so to speak. So for the public version of this file, which again is not up, it's on the VA, it's the VA has the complete version, but the public version is not as complete as it once was. And this file is only available on the Austin mainframe. I believe it's not on CDW. Another source of death comes from the medical SAS inpatient files. So this one is both on Austin and the corporate data warehouse. It's updated weekly. So it's basically going to include deaths that occur in VA and non-VA facilities. And the key variable is it's called discharge type, as well as the date of discharge for those who died would be the date of death. So there's another file that is not in the VSF, and that is the corporate data warehouse where information about deaths it comes from VISTA. And so these are basically official sources, including VBA and the National Cemetery Administration, which is the third and probably less well-known major part of the VA in addition to the VBA and the VHA. So this information is, as we'll see later, is going to become more important as there are these new updates in the with the Date of Death Project. So we'll see here, we'll go on to the next one in a little more detail about what information is actually in the patient table in CDW. So you have a basically a data depth. And the documentation, there have been some new fields apparently that have been added here recently. So you get the source of the information, which is important to recognize that it's from official sources only. So that would be VHA facility, the patient died in a facility, the death certificate, which is often required for relatives to receive benefits, like a spouse to receive benefits from the VBA. They have to eventually send a death certificate to the VBA. And finally, as we mentioned earlier, the National Cemetery Administration. There's also an electronic vital events certification, which we'll talk about more later under the Date of Death Project. So, I mean, the important thing here is that these are fairly strong evidence that these deaths have occurred. So now we're going to move on to which I think is probably the most important part of the presentation, and that is the actual vital status files. And so we'll have the third and final poll question. Have you ever used the VHA DSF? And there are four responses: A, both the mini and master; B, only the mini; C, only the master; and D, neither one.
So the poll is open, Chuck, and again, answers are streaming in. We'll give people a few more moments. Okay, and things have leveled off, so I went ahead and closed the poll. And the results are, yes, both the master file and mini file, 8% chose. Yes, only the mini file, again, 8%. Yes, only the master file, 2%. And no, 82%. Back to you.
Thank you, Rob. So I think this is even, compared to last year, this is even fewer people that have used this. So we're going to spend a little time describing what the VSF actually is and its two major components. So a little background about the vital status file. We probably about 10, 12 years ago, there was a group of us that was led by Denise Hines at Byrick. And people, prior to that time, when they were working on the mainframe, they wanted to find about somebody's vital status. You had to basically go to these, four separate files. So you had to go to Burroughs. You had to go to, if there was Medicare data then, there was some, I believe, 10, 12 years ago. But you had to go to that denominator file to get that. And then the death master file, which was really an important source of deaths back then. And then finally, you wanted to check the PTF because you might find some deaths that occurred in the hospital that weren't reported in the other sources. So, we did this project, this data merge project, where we basically, combined these four sources of death information and then compared it to the gold standard, which was the National Death Index. And we came up with a pretty good sensitivity between 98, right around 98%. Now, this is from, 12 years ago, and one could ask, how are we doing today? And I would be surprised if we're doing any worse. I think we're probably right about in that same level, but I can't, be totally certain about it. But I think this is, the DSF has been a great, made our jobs a lot, made our work a lot easier when it comes to assessing vital status. So those are the major components. The first VSF files were built in October of 2006. If you want to find out about access questions, you can go to this VHA data portal website. It basically includes veterans who had VHA activity from FY92 or later, so we're talking, 25 years, as well as those individuals who were receiving compensation and pension from the Veterans Benefits Administration. And so the file is updated quarterly, I believe, And there are two files. There's a master and a mini, which we'll talk about more. And then there's also this conversion file, which has the scrambled and real SSN. So if you need to, you know, if you have one or the other, if you need one, if you only have the reals and you need to get to the scrambled, you have this link file, which allows you to determine the scrambled number from the real one. So a little bit about the construction of the vital status file. So basically, what they decided to do was create these combinations of patient identifiers based on the social security number, the date of birth, and the sex. And they constructed unique occurrences of those three combinations. They merged with VHA data to find a last activity date by source. So whether they had an outpatient visit on a given date or a hospitalization, they found that last date. And then they identified the inpatient deaths from those VHA utilization files. And then there's something called the Master Veteran Index, which basically is a, you know, kind of a registry of all veterans that are known to the VA. And that has important information like date of birth and sex. And as we'll see, it's also beginning to include date of death as well. So they got that to get these, you know, the date of birth is really important for identifying individuals and also for computing survival time. So we and life expectancy. So we got that. And then it was a matter of merging with these three other death databases. So the BURLS, the Medicare file, and then the SSA deaths, the SSA DMF. And the key variables were to add the death date and then to have the date of birth, the sex, and the and sex of the individual as well as the date of death. And the master file includes all of those different combinations of SSN, date of birth, and sex. And it also has So it may not be unique to an individual where the mini file is one record per SSN. So I'll go over that one more time. The master file has one record per combination of SSN, date of birth, and sex. The mini file has just one record per SSN. So the latter is unique is a unique individual, whereas the former could be an individual with more than, you know, one or two, or even as possibly more than two occurrences in the database. So we'll talk a little more about this as it hopefully become clear. So here's some previous presentations from the last 3 or 4 years that are available on the archive. And if you're interested in finding out more, you can get some good detail from these as well. So going back to the vital status files. This is the current situation as of December 8, 2017. So the master file includes both veterans and non-veterans. And just a reminder that there are non-veterans that use VA healthcare and also receive VA benefits. There is one record per SSN DOB sex combination. There are 125 variables. There are almost 29 million records in the master file. And almost 20 million SSNs. So 41% of the SSNs have more than one record. They're roughly a little over 8 million. The mini file, as we said earlier, includes veterans only. There's one record per SSN. There's 16 variables. And there are roughly 17.4 million veterans in that file. So these are all unique individuals and that they have unique social security numbers. So the contents of the vital status mini file, they indicated 16 variables. This is basically just the SAS output from that file. So there is the activity date, the last activity date, the last healthcare or benefit activity date, the indicator of what that, you know, what was the source of that variable of that. the best date of birth, the best date of birth indicator, the data source for the best date of birth, the best date of death, the best date of death indicator, and the data source for the best date of death, whether it came from the Medicare or Death Master file, and a variable indicating whether the individual was presumed to be living, and there might be those cases, there will be those cases where there was actually activity after the death, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Scrambled Social Security number, the best gender, sex, male, female, and again, the last healthcare utilization. So this is healthcare, whereas the previous one could have been either healthcare or benefit activity. So there's a slight distinction here between benefits and healthcare. So here we have in the BSF mini, what is the best data source? The over 15 million of the 17 million is from the Master Veteran Index, or the MVI. So other dates of death come from these other sources. But predominantly, it's the MVI that's really the important indicator. And this is probably the one that is the one that you would trust the most because, it's really their enrollment file. And it's been carefully vetted. So the best death data source, so there were over 10.5 million that did not die. Most of them come from the Medicare file, which kind of makes sense because these will be mainly older individuals. Less numbers from fee basis, patient treatment file, of course, and then about 1.4 million from the Death Master file. So there are potential challenges when using the vital status file. The demographics might not match. There might be multiple dates of death. There is clearly going to be activity after date of death in a significant number. And the erroneously recorded dates of death in the various sources. So this little note below, when it says the VHA-VSF should not be used for business operations regarding individual veterans, so I guess what that's saying is that it's not an official source of death, of the vital status as well as the date of death. So the official sources are the death certificate or some information from the cemetery administration. But for research purposes, I think this is the VSF is an excellent source of information. And we're going to talk a little bit about possible strategies for matching of the various cohorts. So you could use the mini file for an initial search for deaths, and you're just going to match on the scrambled SSN. Where you have, and especially if you've really got a large study sample, if you've got, millions of records, and it's really hard to rectify each individual, contradiction or something that doesn't seem right, this may be the best way to go because it's just a matter of how much time you want to spend tracking down these problems. If you do want to do that, then going to the master file makes a lot of sense because there you'll be able to see if there were other records besides just the one that's shown in the mini file. And you can also look at activity after death in the master file as well. Let me say, based on experience, that a lot of these activity after death is, especially if it's only one or two instances, would be maybe it's an appointment that wasn't, or an appointment for the family to come in for bereavement counseling. It could have been something that was just erroneously entered in the file. Maybe the individual had an appointment, before he died and it came after the death. So there are all kinds of things that can explain why there might be one or two events after death. But if there are more than that, then maybe that's when you want to start checking, the master file for possibility of other, other information. There are also other data sources such as the National Death Index, which we'll talk about, and state vital statistics offices do, in some cases, that we'll see later, do make their death certificates available to researchers. And also, another source that's going to become increasingly important is the CEW, the death table in CEW. These individuals, more likely to include individuals who died recently, or maybe those who died, you know, before 1992. So the CEW file is definitely worth checking out, and it'll become increasingly important, as we'll see here in a bit. So we're going to leave the vital status file, and we're going to start talking about other sources of death information. So we do have the National Death Index, which is the gold standard for death ascertainment, at least for research purposes. It's available from the National Center for Health Statistics. It's now available, I think, through 2015. It contains the underlying cause of death from the death certificate. In some cases, it may also include the contributing causes. I'm not entirely sure about that. It's also the suicide data repository from the VHA Office of Public Health, or what was the Office of Public Health. That information was based on death certificates from 24 states. And it's a little older now, but still may be worth checking out if you're looking at deaths that occurred, you know, 5 to 10 years ago. You know, a relatively new source is the National Death Index for Veterans. So it is basically the CDC's NDI Plus, which the current veteran file includes about 2.7 million records available from 79 to 2014. It does include the date and cause of death, a veteran decedents only. It's available through the suicide group, but we'll give you the information on that later. And it's available for research purposes as well. So it does include VHA users from 2000 and also service members separating after January 1, 1974. So it would include veterans who may not be known to the VA. So the availability is through the Suicide Data Repository, which is administered jointly by the VA Office of Mental Health and Department of Defense. You can apply to use this for research purposes. That email address is the one you want to use for getting information as to how to go about doing that. The data are now available through 2014. I understand that 2015 may be available soon. So if you're interested in cause of death, if you're interested maybe in verifying deaths that occurred prior to 2014 and earlier, this may be something, a source you want to investigate. Another source that's probably less well known is the Social Security Administration Epidemiological Search. This is not the same as the SSA Death Master File. So what do? If you go on the SSA website, they give you procedures as to how about using this. Submit a request, and there's a fee for doing this, but they actually check the current warrant rolls for those recipients, and they can give you an idea, give you some idea of whether that person is still living or not. So it would also include deaths that occurred outside the U.S. and Social Security recipients who no longer live in the United States would be included. If you've got a study where it's really, really important to verify vital status, this may be a source you want to consider. We're going to move a little bit on to state death certificates. The policies regarding the release of death certificates vary considerably. As deceased individuals are not human subjects from a research standpoint, but from a privacy standpoint, it's a different question, and states have a different understanding of how private these death records actually are. As I said earlier, the Suicide Data Repository, I believe, used death records from 24 states. I did my own research here a few years ago and found out that there were about 20, it seemed like there were about 24 that actually had a process for obtaining death records. So there are some advantages of using the state death certificates. First of all, most states do report on the standard death certificate. There is a variable or a question about whether the individual served in the armed forces of the United States. So you can identify whether a person was a veteran or not. Not only that, but you get the whole death record, not just the underlying cause of death and the date of death. You get a lot of information about the place of death, contributing causes, much more information than you would get from just the NDI plus or the veterans NDI. It does have identifiers such as Social Security number. Would it be possible to link? It's possible to link to VA data. As we said earlier, it's limited in scope. Not all states allow release of records for research purposes. And again, it is the official record, but there always remain concerns about the accuracy of the information, particularly the information regarding underlying cause of death. A lesser known data source is the Defense Manpower Data Center, also known as the DMDC, part of the Department of Defense. They actually do have a website with Excel files that list all the casualties, that is, deaths that occurred in the various deployments since Iraq in I believe, and again, Afghanistan starting in the early 2000s and current to this date. It's part of what they call the Defense Casualty Analysis System, DCAS, and you can go to this website if you're interested, and they do list give you a lot of details about the individuals who have lost their lives in service of their country. We'll talk a little bit about the date of death work group. I think this is also really important information. So the Date of Death Project evolved into the Date of Death Project, which now includes leadership from VHA, VBA, and the National Cemetery Administration. Its purpose is to improve the vital status ascertainment and documentation of death of individuals known to VA. So it is developing processes and procedures to improve the accuracy and completeness of date of death. The MVI is the authoritative service for the date of death, and they also participate in the electronic verification of vital events now in use at VA. So the EVVE is part of the National Association for Public Health Statistics Information Systems. It's an online query system of state vital statistics databases, including both death certificates and birth certificates. Some background. By the way, I appreciate Maureen Arnold for providing these slides regarding the this Date of Death Project. So basically, they looked, I think, a couple years ago, and they found that there were 2.7 million deaths that were not in, the CDW records. So clearly, a lot of deaths are not in that, but more will be coming. So they also found out that most of the individuals who had an event after death, there was only one of them. They found very few individuals where the activity of death after death indicated the individual was actually living. So some new information. The MVI has become the authoritative source for date of death in August of 2017. In the fall of 2017, the MVI was seeded with dates of death originating from VISTA. And in November, they are beginning to get dates of deaths from the Social Security Death Master File with internal verification of these deaths. In the spring of 2018, MVI will begin updating records with the older dates of death on the SSA Death Master File. And the dates of death from the MVI are pushed out into VISTA records, so you're going to find more death dates in the CDW death table. So I think that's some really important information, and what I think that really says is that when you start looking at trying to ascertain vital status, you need to look not just at the vital status file, but also at the death table of CDW. And whether there are going to be efforts to reconcile these two sources, I really don't know. So, I mean, everything's a work in progress, so to speak. But it's clear that the MVI is, and I think as time goes on, will become the authoritative source for vital status in the, at least from the operation standpoint. Talk a little bit about other sources for mortality data. The Centers for Disease Control has a number of death search tools as well as limited individual death files. These are on the CDC Wonder site. There's an underlying cause of death site. There's also a file that has multiple causes of death, so they have the contributing causes as well as the underlying causes. And another injury statistics query reporting system, also on CDC. So these databases have limited information due to privacy concerns, but they do have some research applications. If you kind of have the right questions, this may be a good source to answer. But the caveat is these files are basically de-identified, so you can't use them to link to a sample or a population that you may be studying. So they're basically for addressing, I think, limited questions, but just let you know that they are out there. Probably this is a fact that's known to most all of you, is that, I think right now we have about 9 million veterans who are enrolled in the VA, whether that means health care or benefits, or there are 9 million veterans among the VA. Right now, this is 2012, there were 22 million living veterans. It's probably somewhat less than that now. But even so, you're looking at maybe over 60% of veterans who are not known to the VA. So these additional sources of information, like state death certificates, may be a good source for studying the whole general veteran population. Finally, a few questions about a few examples of current research that's been using various vital status files. So Dr. Rana Trivedi, who wrote a paper using the vital status file looking at life expectancy in veterans of mental illness, has extended that question to looking at causes of death in these veterans, and she's recently submitted a paper to Health Services Research, special issue in honor of Jim Burgess. And an important finding from her study was that the veterans with mental illness died prematurely of preventable conditions such as ischemic heart disease. So using these cause of death data can really kind of sort of help us better understand veteran health, and also what can be done to improve the health of veterans, especially given the large volume of mental health care provided by VA. A second paper has looked at cause of death in veterans with service-connected conditions. It's been submitted for publication. One significant finding from this study was that for the veterans born after 1957, cardiovascular disease and cancer accounted for about a third of deaths, whereas deaths due to accident, suicide, or assault accounted for nearly 35% of deaths. So these external causes of death in relatively young veterans with service-connected conditions were kind of a startling finding. Again, a lot of these service-connected conditions in younger veterans were for mental health conditions, mainly PTSD. And a third example, my own state of Washington is probably the most liberal state in the country in terms of making its death certificates available for research use. So it currently has files going back from 1968. There are two types of files. There is an identifier file, which contains a death certificate number, social security number, name, address, this kind of thing. underlying cause of death, and then a second file which contains a certain number as well as the complete death certificate. Those files can be purchased for $20 per year. There is no IRB requirement. You just have to state that you will not use these records for So a whole veteran population for a given state, this is the place to do it. Washington provides a really good opportunity to do this. The state has got, it's a growing state, lots of veterans. I think in some ways these veterans may be very representative of the whole veteran population. It's a tremendous amount of information for relatively low cost. We've used these data files to, write several papers over the last, it's almost 20 years now, hard to believe, but they are a valuable source of information. I think Kira put this slide together, so this is really a nice cheat sheet about just kind of a brief review of, what files are in the VSS, so the Burroughs file, CMS, Medicare Vital Status file, the Death Master file from Social Security Administration, and the Patient Treatment file. Corporate Data Warehouse, which is going to become more and more important as the MBI is the authoritative source of date of death. More of those dates are going to be fed back into VISTA, and they're going to appear in that CDW table. The National Death Index, National Death Index for Veterans, is a new tool that I think that's has great value for VA researchers. And then the epidemiological search, probably not something you're going to use unless you are really, really set on finding out what's happened to specific individuals. And finally, state death records, realizing that states vary tremendously in their availability of their records. The big advantage of these is that at least in Washington State, there is a veteran status on the death certificate, a chance to study the whole veteran population and not just those known to the VA. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. We have various websites for questions. Can't emphasize enough how important the listserv is. If you have a question, please post the listserv. You're likely to get a really good answer. More information, some references, and I think at this point I'll leave it open for questions, Rob.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. We do have several questions from the audience, so we'll get right into it. The first question, for the VBA data in the VSF file, are there limiting years like for the VHA data, or is it this anyone that has ever received benefits?
Yes, Sarah. So theoretically, anyone who's received benefits could appear in that Burroughs death file. But basically what happens is the VBA sends a VHA, a SAS file, out of their corporate database. And I've seen some really early dates of death in there. And how valid they are, I don't know. But if you are interested in finding early deaths, that's a source worth investigating.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. The next question, how do you select veterans for inclusion in the VSF mini? How is veteran defined?
Good question. I think the short answer is if they appear in the MVI, Master Veteran Index, if they have applied for some kind of VA benefit, whether it be health care or, compensation, pension, and there are other smaller categories of veterans that will be known, very select groups like Medal of Honor winners, as well as individuals that were prisoners of war. Basically, a veteran, as I understand it, is anybody who has served in the armed forces of the United States. And if you go on the VIRIC website, you can get some more precise definitions of that. So what that file would not include It would not include, say, a spouse that might be eligible for VA medical care, or possibly a VA employee who received medical care that was not a veteran. Those are the kinds of individuals that might appear in the master file that will not appear in the mini file. I hope that answers the question.
All right. I think you already answered this next question, but I'll just go over it anyway. When will 2015 NDI data become available for researchers?
I'm not sure exactly. My guess is it'll be sometime in the next. I've heard a rumor that it's available now. You could email send that email address that it was on the presentation. My guess is it's going to be available very soon because the NDI 2015 data are available. The National Death Index, the more general one, they are available for 2015, I believe. So the VA must be getting their records fairly soon as well. The other thing is the VA does all that work that you do with the NDI where you're trying to figure whether matches are not are valid, which matches are correct. They do all that. The people at Office of Mental Health and DOD, they do that, and then they pass it on to the VA. So there's some processing time that goes on, and that's why there might be a little longer delay from what you would get from the NDI. So when you get the NDI, you're only linking on the scrambled Social Security number. That's all you have to do, none of the other stuff. So you can look at dates of birth and that kind of thing, but basically a lot of that work's been done for you already.
All right, thank you. The next question, is there someone we can contact if the DOD in the VSF is incorrect?
I'm not sure how to answer that question. I think you could maybe send you might be able to talk to Virick about that, or possibly one of the data stewards at CDW. That would be my that's a good question. How you correct a date of death? I'm not sure what the procedure for that actually is.
If you can send an email to Virick, I'm sure we can direct you to someone who can help you.
And again, the NVI is the Master Veteran Index is going to become really very important for that. That's going to become a very important source of information.
All right. Okay, the next question is about the NDI. So NDI is the gold standard, but are there or can there be any records in the other death files that don't appear in NDI?
Yes, it's theoretically possible. My understanding is that if someone were to die out of the United States, they would not have a death certificate in one of the states. But if they were, say, someone who was living in Mexico receiving Social Security benefits, they died in Mexico, they would probably appear in the SSA death master file, but they would not likely appear in the NDI. So that is a possibility.
Okay. You mentioned that 41% of SSNs in the master VSF have more than one record. Do you have any idea why there are so many? And how can you tell which of the possible individuals represented is the real person associated with that SSN?
Okay, good question. So that's one of the that's why we have the mini file, because they do some of that work for you. They basically take the best date of death and the best date of birth to determine which one is probably the most likely source. It's just given the way data are entered and just given the possibilities, it's always possible or probable that something like this is going to occur. You're going to have this many individuals. So the date of birth may be off by, one or two days. And there may be a digit transition in one of the years. I mean, it's any number of things can explain why you have these multiple combinations. And I think unless you really want to get into the weeds, trusting the VS, the mini file, is probably the way to go. If you really need to be really certain about something, then I think you get you do then need to get into the weeds. And it's just a matter of looking at data, you know, and just seeing, does this make sense? Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of, you know, ironic, you know, that something like the data of birth, which you think would be, there's always problems. You know, you might be missing a day, or you might be missing, you know, sometimes they get converted to 1/1/1900 for some reason. You know, there's just any number of things can happen. So that's why we have these anomalies.
Okay. Is there a reason why SSN is used and not ICN?
Good question. I think the major problem is that this is the way we've been doing things for so many years, and the NDI, of course, is based on the Social Security number, so that's part of it. But I think we're moving toward a better identifier as the mainframe goes away, as the MVI becomes, you know, more prominent. I think we'll see the ICN being used more, and I think these are all things that are going to be worked out in the next few years, particularly as how the vital status file, you know, because it's sort of a legacy situation where it was created, you know, like 12, 13 years ago. So there's a lot of changes that are going on, and my guess is that it's just a matter of time before we start using the ICN instead of the scrambled SSN.
Okay. The next question, how does the SSA epidemiological file differ from the SSA death master file?
I think, first of all, it's going to be more current because they actually go check the current roles. I can't give you all the specifics. The death master file, you know, theoretically should be, because it's updated, I think, on a quarterly basis or maybe monthly basis. It should theoretically contain the same information. But if someone died, you know, really quickly, you know, if it occurred, you know, after the release of the latest DMF, epidemiological search may be a way to go. I think they check more than just the enrollment. Basically, the death master file is sort of the enrollment file. I'm not sure that it actually checks all of the other files, like the current warrant file. That it just, I think it basically checks more sources than the DMF does. Now, I can't be totally sure on that. Again, I think you would only want to use that if you were really, really concerned about just a few individuals. In a big study, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. We still have a couple more questions.
Sure.
So you talked about the best sources for birth date and death date. What is the best place for cause of death?
You're only going to get that from the NDI for veterans, or the NDI itself, because I mean, we can get in a long discussion about how accurate the underlying cause of death is, but unless you're doing some kind of a randomized trial where you're actually, you know, having a committee, you know, sort of evaluate how someone died. I mean, if you're doing typical health services research where you have thousands and thousands of subjects and you're interested in cause of death, you're only going to get that from the death certificate. You won't get it anywhere else.
All right. Thank you. I think we're reaching up to the last question now. Does the NDI for veterans you mentioned require a real SSN, or can we use scrambled SSN provided in CDW data to link to the NDI for veterans?
The NDI for veterans, it only comes with the scrambled SSN. It doesn't come with the real SSN. They, like I said, they do all that pre-processing early on, so if you only have the real SSN, you're going to need to go to the link file and get the scrambled SSN. So that link file that's part of the vital status file, the third file, that's the one you need to go to, because only the scrambled number appears in the in the NDI for veterans, is my understanding.
Here, I'm afraid we can't hear you. Has something happened to your audio?
Oh, sorry about that. I think that there's another question just came in. What algorithms are used to define a match, and do they differ across sources?
Do you mean match for the vital status file? Is that what they're talking about, or for matching to NDI?
I'm not sure. This one just came in, so possibly they're talking about NDI.
I think what they're going to talk, they refer to the NDI. So what happens is that when you do an NDI search, you typically send a bunch of PHI to the CDC. So you're going to send their name, first, last, social security number, date of birth, sex, among those things, and what the NDI does is it runs its computer algorithms and it matches on these very things. And so it comes back with a list of possible matches, and then you have to decide which one makes the most sense. So if you have a really common name like Smith or Jones, you could get numerous matches, whereas a less common name, you're only going to have one or two choices. So that's why I think the NDI is, rather than just being the kind of a – it's not really a database per se. It's more of a search engine. And now, like I said, when the NDI for veterans, they do all that work for you. So then you're only linking on the scrambled SSN. But if any of you out there have done an NDI search in the past, you know, now you get probably a CD or electronic file that has, you know, you could have a guy named Robert Smith who was born, you know, maybe August 5th, 1939, and you might get 5 or 10 Robert Smiths that were born on that same day, and that's where it's really confusing. That they don't make that decision for you. You have to make that decision, and sometimes all you can do is just take what you think is the best match. But it's basically on that kind of information: name, social security number, if it's available, and that's the other thing. Social security numbers are becoming less and less apparent on death certificates. You know, so those are the kinds of things you have to sort of just make the decision on. And like I said, if you have thousands and thousands of deaths, I mean, that's sort of a, you know, it's you have to decide how much effort you want to spend on that.
All right, Chuck, thank you so much for taking the time to present today's session. Those were all the questions we got, and we were able to get through all of them. To the audience, if you have any more questions, you can contact Chuck directly. His contact information is in the slide deck. You can also contact the VIREC help desk at VIREC@va.gov. Please tune in for the next session in VIREC's Database and Methods Cyber Seminar Series on Monday, February 5th at 12 p.m. Eastern. This session will be presented by Dr. Maria Moore, and she will talk about how to assess race and ethnicity in VA data. We hope to see you there.